the blessings of the Father prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of him that was separate from his brethren. I'd like to talk to you about the spirit of Joseph for just a minute. And I'd like to mention that there was a fellow named John the Baptist who was here 2,000 years ago. But John the Baptist did not come in the spirit and power of John the Baptist. I'm going to say it again. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of somebody else. What was it? How many understand that some people can operate in the spirit of someone else? Now, this is not new. Jesus said John the Baptist was under the spirit of what? Elijah. And he said it was Elijah if you'd have it, because you'd understand the spirit, the difference between spirit and soul body. This was Elijah. We're not teaching reincarnation. We're just talking about the spirit. We do not believe in reincarnation of the soul. Go. I don't know where you caught that, but I'll move on and hope nobody stops. So, John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah, and we believe that there's a group of people in the world today that has the spirit of Joseph. Now, what is the spirit of Joseph? The spirit of Joseph is hard work, righteous living, planting of seed, saving of seed, and ministering to the physical needs of the whole world. So, Joseph got the seed together. And with the seed, it says in the Bible that he actually fed the whole world. And it says very clearly that there wasn't a single nation that lived through the famine except they came to Egypt to buy corn. Is that right? But Joseph started out in a pit. Do you remember the story? After he got out of the pit, he was tied to the back of a camel. Now he's marching behind this camel for 200 miles and he gets to Egypt. Oh boy, he says, look at that, there's a place we're going to get some water, and they're going to fit, and they begin to feed him, fatten him, and instead of what he thought it was, he ended up on a slave block, and old Potiphar bought him. You remember that? Well, things went good for him in Potiphar's house, and finally he was the head of that house, till one day he found himself in prison, convicted of attempted rape. 15 years he served now as an attempted rapist. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. You know, this is in the Bible. I'm not making this up. He's now convicted of attempted rape, 15 years, when all of a sudden, one day, he turns from convict to king. Overnight. King of the world. From convict in prison to king of the world overnight. And what's the spirit of Joseph? The spirit is to work hard, plant seed, get 30, 60, 100-fold for the seed. Now save it. Don't use it all up, because there's another day coming. So as he begins to put the seed away and he begins to meet the needs of the rest of the world, all of a sudden we find that the rest of the world becomes subservient to Egypt and Joseph. And pretty soon they're trading first all of their gold and silver and brass. Next they're trading all of their crops. Next they're trading all of their household goods. One year they traded all their land. And finally they traded even their freedom, and every part of the world became slaves unto Egypt. Bible students, give me a nod if you remember the story. So with the gold, Egypt became preeminent among all the nations, became the king of the world. I'm sorry, with the golden grain, they became king of the world. Now, 450 years later, Moses tells Israel, it's time to get up and go. When Moses tells Israel it's time to get up and go, what did he tell Israel to do? Borrow from the Egyptians. And what the Egyptians had? All the gold and silver of the world. Then, because it tells us that the economy of Egypt was failing, Israel borrowed during a failing economy. Now, most people are telling you not to borrow during a failing economy, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Only those in the know are borrowing. And why? Because they know that as money fails, it's easier to pay your debts. Say that again so that nobody misunderstands. A few years ago, you turned to your wife and she turned to you and said, honey, we'll never be able to afford this house. It's going to take $1,000 down and we have to pay $67 a month. Remember those days? $67 a month, you laughed and said, we'll never be able to do it, right? Well, you woke up the next morning, you bought the house anyway. And now, 10 years later, it's a snap, right? That which was $67 a month seems like just a giant mountain has become a molehill. Is that all right? Why? Was it because you're smart? It's because of inflation. Hear me. Inflation makes it easier to pay off your house and the mortgage, doesn't it? Because people in debt make out from inflation. It's the people who have money who lose. Whether you're hearing me or not. It was during the Depression that Daddy made his rules of money management, and Dad's rules of money management said, never borrow. Isn't that what he said? Don't you remember our dads always said, never borrow? Why? Be in debt to no man. Doesn't the Bible say, owe no man anything? Huh? Well, you'll be really surprised when you find out what it is that you're paying. When it says, owe no man anything, that has nothing to do with money at all. The subject is love. Yes, it is. You go back and check it out. It's the subject is love, not money. When it says, owe no man anything, pay off your love debts. That's what it says. The whole chapter is on love. Owe no man anything has nothing to do with money, has to do with love. Pay it off. Now, did God tell Israel to borrow from the Egyptians? Say yes. Yes, he did. Well, if God told Israel to borrow from the Egyptians, and Israel borrowed from the Egyptians because of the tremendous inflation, then they ended up with all the gold and the silver. And when they ended up with all the gold and silver, it was because Egypt had all the gold and silver, because 450 years before, Joseph was down there and got it for them. Out of all the other nations. So that meant that when they got over in the wilderness, God ended up with all the gold and silver because the people were willing. Are you hearing it? But if you follow these rules of money management so that you can get rich, so you have peace, security, and safety in your gold, then it won't work, and you'll have a golden wedge of AI, and you'll probably die because of it. In other words, if you buy what we tell you to buy, if you borrow because, you know, the way we're telling you these things, because you have a fear, because you're afraid of losing your money or something like that, then you'll probably buy a piece of land and somebody will build a dump next to it, and you'll lose all your investment. It's not what you do, it's why you do it. It's your motive. So with your motive right, and if you do right, hear me, oh, Joseph, God wants to bless you. Hear me, Joseph. God wants to bless you. Not so that you can turn everybody to yourself, but so that you can use that blessing to in turn bless others. For agape love, the kind of love that Pete didn't understand, was the kind of love that comes from God and goes through the channel and blesses others. Phileo love is the kind of love that we all understand, and Pete did too, and phileo love says, I'll shake your hand if you shake mine. That's responsive. Did you know that? See, that's we're loving right now. This is phileo love. And when I smile at you, you smile at me, and by the way, I enjoy it. You see, I enjoy phileo response. Does that make sense? See, I like responsive love. That's neat. But there's another form of love, and that's the unresponsive, and that means I'll meet your needs if you don't never meet mine. I'll give and give and give and give and give and give. But you know something? None of us have that kind of love. Say that again. You cannot pump that up. There's nobody here with a pump that can pump up agape and say, I'll give to you whether you give back or not. Marriages are based on first erotic attraction, then after that, somebody says that love wears out, but cooking don't. Then it's phileo. I don't know where you're hearing it. But phileo love says, I'll meet your needs if you meet mine. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. Phileo love, that's why marriages fail, because somebody stops and then the other partner stops. Did you hear me? If you quit meeting my needs, I'll quit meeting yours, and we'll see you in court. You understand? See, that's the way society is right now. But that's phileo love. Not finding fault, I'm just trying to put the label on it. That's phileo love. But there's an agape love, and agape love says, I'll meet your needs if you don't meet mine. Once in a while, we run across a wheelchair case or something like that where somebody has agape love and continues to meet the need. Are you following this kind of thing? But that's an exception to the rule, not the general. Okay. So that don't pin me down with exceptions. The general rule is that marriages are nurtured by phileo response. And if that means that you've got to have response. That also means, sir, that she does not want you to read the paper when she's talking to you. She's expecting a response. You know, the Dagwood comic where he's reading the newspaper and Blondie's exasperated is an example of misunderstanding of phileo love. Okay, and all the ladies said, amen. Because of that. So here in Genesis, we find out now that there's another ruler, and his name is Joseph. And Joseph is going to rule the world. But when we found out that Joseph ruled the world, we found out that his blessing, the blessing and the inheritance, the blessing went to Joseph, but the inheritance didn't go to Joseph. The inheritance went to his two children. What were they? Ephraim and Manasseh. But Ephraim's crossed out now. He loses his blessing and inheritance because he produces the false kings. But who's left? Manasseh. And who's the great Manasseh nation? The United States of America. And what kind of spirit is on the United States of America? The Joseph spirit. The spirit of producing grain. The spirit of using that grain to feed other people. And so, there's a landslide in Chile. Tidal wave in some islands you never heard of across the sea. And what nation mobilizes immediately to send goods, services, bandages, food, clothes to Guatemala? How many know what I'm talking about? And what nation is it? The United States of America, because this nation has the what spirit? Joseph spirit, and has had the Joseph spirit for the last 100 years at least. Now I'm going to say this. We are not blessed because we're smart. We're blessed because God is good. You see, as I've traveled Central America, South America, Europe, Mideast, I found out that those people sometimes exhibit more smartness than we. Because we don't have to, they've got to grub it out. And so they do a lot of real tricky things and use their head a whole lot more than we who have it easy. And it's because you're blessed because God is good. But then he put a spirit on you and you didn't even know it. And it's the spirit of Joseph. And the spirit of Joseph said, I will meet the physical needs of my brothers around the world. Are you hearing this? The spirit of Joseph said, I will meet the physical needs of my brothers around the world and give and give and give and give when they slap me back, when they're mean to me, when they talk me down, when they throw me in the pit, I will meet their physical needs. Are you hearing me? And the name of that country is the United States of America. I feel patriotic right now. Let me tell you something. 200 years ago, my father, I was just reading a book, and my forefathers fought the war over in Maryland. And my forefathers have fought in every war this country has ever had. Ebos have been in every war this country's ever had, and I was in the Korean War myself. And in that realm, I was very successful and kept all the Koreans out of the Atlantic Ocean. When they found out I was on that submarine, they were scared to get over there. Well, I could have been in the Pacific. I just praise the Lord. See, I tried real hard to get the Pacific, but the Lord knew ahead of time, and he kept me in the Atlantic because he just didn't want me to be over in those kind of things. So I praise the Lord for it. It's not that one of us favored above the others. It's just he had other work for me to do. Now, the reason I'm interested in this is that I believe that the United States of America is God's gift to the world. Are you hearing me? The United States of America is God's gift to the world. But if it's God's gift to the world, do you remember that God's first gift, his only begotten Son, was his channel of blessing? Are you hearing me? In other words, God's gift to the world becomes channels of blessings to meet the needs of the rest of the world. And they're not motivated for their own needs, but they're up early and stay up late. Are you hearing me? Do you remember what Jesus did? Up early, stayed up late. Went until the rest of the people were dragging. Once in a while, he said, come apart and rest. But generally, it was just minister, minister, minister. Go, go, go. Why? Meeting the needs of others and not himself. Are you hearing it? Somebody says it's not fair for the Americans to work so hard. Let me tell you something. God gave America. And it tells us in Ezekiel chapter 37, 38, 39, that God was going to take all that corn that was as sieve, as a corn that's moved on a sieve, out of a sieve, and it was going to fall on the various nations, but it would not go unnoticed. And it says he's going to bring Israel to a nation. whose mountains have never been inhabited. And they're going to build cities without walls. Well, my friend, I went over to the Israel in the edge of the Mediterranean, and their mountains have always been inhabited, and all their cities have walls. But God did raise up a great Israel in the midst of a wilderness, according to Ezekiel, on mountains never inhabited, and whose cities have no walls. A melting pot of nations, according to Ezekiel. I'm speaking of spiritual Israel, and I'm speaking of spiritual Joseph. And God raised up a great Joseph nation. So he said in Ezekiel 37, 38, 39, I want you to take two sticks. This time there'll be two sticks. And I want you to write on one for Joseph and the children of Israel, and on the other write for Judah and the sons of Israel, and join them together so that they might be one in my hand. The United States of America is the only country where the northern and the southern, Joseph and Judah, Jews and Gentiles, work together. Are you hearing me? God said, I'm going to take this stick and I'm going to put all the nations together so that with this stick I'm going to rule them. And the stick's name is USA, the United States of America. And he's going to rule all the nations with the United States. Then the Bible says in the last days, many saviors, plural, shall come from Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. God said in the last days that coming down from God out of heaven would be the new Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem that has walls, but the new Jerusalem that has spiritual walls built on 12 manners of stones, which are the 12 apostles, which is spiritual, not physical. And it says that this great Jerusalem shall come down from God out of heaven. If you will look at a map of the United States of America, then take the grain belt, the golden grain belt where the corn and wheat is grown. You'll find out from the edge of Pennsylvania, Ohio border, all the way over to the Sierra Mountains, from Tennessee up to and including parts of Canada, you will find that this is the exact dimension of the new Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven, lands in a wilderness, and is given by God as a feeder, a shepherd, to feed all the world. Can you hear it? Hallelujah. Praise God. All scientists tell us that the same area that I just described has the potential and the ability to feed the whole world. Any scientist, anybody who has any knowledge of agriculture says when you plant the seeds out to the edge or the row of the field, then you have the ability to feed the whole world. For many years, we plowed the pigs under and we had subsidies. But, and I'm not trying to get political, but I want you to know something. As far as this fellow is concerned, it's more godly to put a seed in and get 30, 60, and 100 fold than it is to plow pigs under. You hearing? I'm not finding fault with those who take subsidies. In fact, if I had a farm, I'd probably take subsidies myself. But I praise God that no subsidies are available anymore. Are you hearing it? I like the idea of planting the fields to their edges right now. It's godly. There's something basically godly about it. Next thing may be offensive to you, but here goes anyway. I like the idea of feeding my enemies. Now, I like the idea of sending wheat to Russia. I don't like the way it handled. I think there were some mistakes in this realm. But basically, it's godly, and basically, it's a pattern that's already been established, and quit fighting it. It's of God. Hear the words of the prophet this night. Quit fighting it. All around the United States, we find people fighting the idea of sending grain to Russia. Quit it. This thing is of God. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. The Joseph spirit will feed people who slap you down. This thing is of God, and it must be. So if you find out it's of God, at least join Joseph's side and get on the ball, float with the stick, quit fighting against the current right now, and go with it, because this thing is of God, and we will feed the world. But here's the thing. Because we're going to feed the world, we're also going to own the world. That's what the Russians don't know yet. They haven't figured this out, because really, grain is more valuable than oil. And someday, a bushel of wheat will be much more valuable than a block of gold. Are you hearing it?
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a time when you'll trade that Bonneville Pontiac for a peck of turnips. No offense. I just, you know, I try to pick somebody out in the audience. And you'll trade that for a peck of turnips and think you got a good deal. Are you hearing me? And that day is very close at hand. The day of the United States preeminence among all the nations is getting closer and closer. And how's it going to come? It's going to come by the agriculture of the United States. If you don't believe it, that's why Kissinger has now taken over, of all things, the Department of Agriculture. And Butts is flaming mad. And it's a secret thing that's going on right now, but it's the information is available. And we can give it to you if you want to show how Kissinger at the State Department is now using the Department of Agriculture as a maneuvering technique among the nations. Mm-hmm. This thing is of God. Don't fight it. Remember that even God even hardened Pharaoh's heart to accomplish his purpose and cause his people to be ready. And there are some pharaohs around. Some kissers. who have been appointed to places of leadership for a purpose in the end time. Mm-hmm. Are you here to cause these things to come to pass? Yes, the United States of America is God's gift to the world. I don't like everything that goes on. I don't like all of our leaders, but I'll tell you this. I like the United States of America. We have the very best form of government that any nation has ever had. We've gone farther and faster than any nation, mm-hmm. bar none. Put them all together, and the United States of America beats them all. And you don't have to travel much to find out that every place we go, everybody we meet in foreign countries always says, I would love to come and live with you. Not without exception, everybody wants to come over here because we have a chance. There is a chance. Now, you may not like some things that are going on. You may not like your heavy oppressive taxes. You may not like some things that are going on, but remember this. Our leaders are a terror, according to the Bible. The Bible says the leaders are terror to them who live righteously. And so I'll tell you, I've been terrorized by some of the leaders and some of the things that went on at the school board and some other things like that. But I have to admit that God put those people in power and that I have to go along with it for a while. But one of these days, I'm going to get out of prison. One of these days, Joseph is going to be king of the world. And who are the kings? The kings and priests join us with Christ. Those are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And how shall we know them? These will be manifested heroes of God. By whom shall they be led? The heroes of God are not led by the fivefold ministry. They are led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons, heroes of God. Oh, by the way, after you believe on him, then to them gave he power to become. He didn't say that after you believe on him, you are. He says he gave you power to become the heroes of God. We start out not as heroes, we start out as paideons, little babies in the family of God. Then we become pais. And to that we become technons, and finally heroes. We get the power to become. And by the grace of God and all that lies within me, I stand as a candidate. Are you hearing it? I stand as a candidate. I want to be a heroes of God. I want to be a manifested son. How shall we know the manifested sons? They'll be led by the Holy Spirit. And you'll see them by their glory. You shall know them by the light that shall shine from their physical bodies. The Bible talks about the glory, the aura, the doxa, the ray, the emanating force that comes from the physical body, from the heroes, the manifested sons of God. We'll know them by the light that is around their physical body. Why? Because they've gone through the salvation of the soul. They've had the salvation of the Spirit. We're having the salvation of the soul. Then we'll have the glory of the Father in the body. Because these people will be the manifested sons of God. They're the ones that are even going to overcome the last enemy, which is what?
Yeah.
Now, if they overcome the last enemy, and Jesus said to him that overcometh, you can sit in the throne. So who's going to sit on the throne? Manifested sons of God, joined as with Christ. They're going to sit and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. By the way, if 1,000 is 1,000, it's the only time that any number in the book of Revelation was literal. So in other words, if you're still looking for a literal millennium, help yourself. I hope you wouldn't be offended if it was longer. Is that okay? And if you want to argue whether the millennium is a literal 1,000 years, tell you what. Let's make a date for 1,000 years from now and we'll talk it over. I expect to be here. We're going to have a mansion. Hallelujah. But you know something? I don't plan to go over to heaven to get the mansion, because in John chapter 14, verse 23, he said, if you love me and do what my Father and I tell you, then we'll come to you and bring our mansion with us, so that where you are, that's where we'll be, and you can have the mansion right there. Hallelujah. So I'm getting real religious now. And I'm feeling pretty good, because I believe that I'm talking to some people who are going to be alive and remain to the coming of Christ. You're going to have the mansion. And look, I've been reading the last chapter, and we win. We're going to win. Oh, by the way, I have to tell you this. The guys that win are the lovers. Lovers win, fighters lose. So I have to take it back. Sorry, Mike and Gabe. Don't go back and get those 40 volts of lightning. I've learned my lesson. Put the lightning away. I'll be a lover, not a fighter. I want to be a winner, not a loser. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you belong to the same denomination. Oh, no, I got that wrong, didn't I? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples by your what? Love one for another. And so now I'm going to pray for you, because I want you to become kings and priests, joint heirs with Christ. I want you to identify with Levi and Joseph, not with Dan and Ephraim. Are you hearing me? I want you to be channels of blessing and pour your blessing out on someone else instead of hold it for yourself, okay? Stand with me while we pray. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear. We ask, Lord, for wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits. And we pray, Lord, that every eye here will be able to behold and see him, that every ear can hear him. We pray, Lord, not only for a parousia, but for an epiphany, a manifestation of God in our midst. And now, Lord, we pray that every spirit will say yes to Jesus. We pray that nobody here will get away without the blood of Jesus covering all past sin. Lord, we just stand before you right now for the application. Now we pray that each one of us will stand before Jesus and say, Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit will start working on our souls, changing us, changing our attitudes, changing our mind from what we are to what we ought to be. Yeah. And now, Lord, we pray that every spirit and every soul and also the bodies will be moved upon, that the bodies will be changed from glory to glory, that the glory of the Father will inhabit these physical bodies. Every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebaugh Bible School.